1 Corinthians chapter 15 for the reading of the Word of God. I want to begin in verse number 1. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, and then of 12. After that, He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James, and then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. They also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the passage of Scripture that lies before us. Thank You, Father, for the Apostle Paul. Thank You, Father, for the church there at Corinth and the lessons, our Father, that we can learn. God, I pray this morning, Lord, as we preach the gospel, the message, our Father, that You've laid upon our heart. God, that You would just stir our hearts and help us this day. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. It's in my heart this morning to just look at the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said here, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." I want to make about 7 statements this morning, or perhaps this morning and tonight. I'm not sure how it'll go. But I want to share with you out of this passage of Scripture some things that the gospel accomplishes, and some things that we see surrounding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take it in the order that it comes in the Scripture. If it were not for the order, I probably would jump down to number 4 in the message first. But I want to just say a couple of things in the onset of the message. Number 1, the gospel delivers. The gospel delivers. You say, "Preacher, where did you find that in the passage?" In the second word. The Bible said, "Moreover, brethren." You understand that no one becomes a brother or a sister in Christ apart from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it is the gospel that delivered me from hell into the kingdom of our God. It is the gospel that delivered me where Satan was my father and I was doing the will of my father, the devil, into the place where I could be in the family of God and God would help me to do the will of my Father in heaven. I believe this morning that when you see the brethren, we should not take for granted how that we became brethren. No one becomes a part of the family of God apart from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this morning that's important. In verse number 2, he uses these words. He uses the word brethren in verse number 1. In verse number 2, he said, by which also ye are saved. I want to say this morning, no one's ever saved apart from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart, there's a lot of psychology going on in the pulpit today. And there's a lot of history being taught, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I tell you, there's a place in the pulpit for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the gospel that delivers. It is the gospel that puts us into the family of God. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He said, you're saved. Now watch in verse number, 9 and verse number 10 for just a moment. In verse number 3, let me go there first. He said, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. You say, preacher, how did the gospel deliver the Apostle Paul? He received it. He did not reject it. He received it. Amen. Thank God the gospel delivers. On the road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul was traveling to lock up some more Christians, to beat some more Christians. He thought that they were in the wrong way, but he found out he was the one in the wrong way. It reminds me of a man that called his wife. He was on the interstate. He said, darling, the wife called the husband. And she said, darling, I just saw on the news where there's some old man out on the interstate going the wrong way. He said, baby, they're all going the wrong way. Amen. He was the one. Amen. I want you to know, listen, the gospel is the right way, and any other way is the wrong way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the way that leadeth to life eternal, and few there be that find it. The Apostle Paul would say, hey, I received the gospel, and the gospel delivered me from my sin. It delivered me from the wrong way. It put me in the right way. It delivered me from darkness. It delivered me from hell. It delivered me, my friend, from doing the wrong thing, and helped me to do the right thing in life. The gospel delivers. I see it in the word brethren. I see it in the word you are saved. I see it in the word that which I also received. Look at verse 9 and verse number 10. The Apostle Paul wants us to know that the gospel delivers. I'll just say this to you. I know it's 2014. Amen. That's even hard to imagine, isn't it, that it is actually 2014. And I know there's a not lot of new ideas. And I'm going to tell you, you'll not beat the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you, our desire as Bible school's coming up is to preach the gospel to the kids. Tell them about a Savior. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel delivers. Now watch here in verse number 9 and verse number 10. Paul said, for I'm the least of the apostles. I'm going to tell you something right now. The gospel won't blow you up. Say amen. The gospel won't make you proud. The gospel will make you humble. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. He said, I'm not even neat to be called an apostle. I believe this morning that ought to be our attitude. We ought to feel like we're less than the least of the saints. But thank God we're a saint of the living God because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel delivers. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. I'm not neat. That word means fit. Paul said, I'm not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But I like verse 10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was not bestowed upon me in vain, for I labored more abundantly than they all. Can I tell you that Bible grace and a Bible gospel will put you in the work of God for the rest of your life? It'll put you in the work of God. You don't work to get the gospel, but if you get the gospel, it'll put you to work. Hallelujah. Amen. It'll give you a job to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, do you believe the gospel delivers? Yes, I do. Ask the woman at the well.
Amen. She went with a bucket and left with a well. And then in her was a well of water springing up into everlasting life. She met Jesus at the well. Amen. And she got her a drink that caused her to run back to town and say, come see a man. It delivered her from her old lifestyle. Come see a man which told me all things ever that I did. Is not this the Christ? Ask the maniac. If you could just interview him for a few minutes, he'd say, well, I used to live over there among the tombs. I used to cut myself. They used to chain me. They were afraid of me. I used to break those chains. I was a wild man. I couldn't control myself and nobody else could control me. But one day Jesus came by. One day, hallelujah, I was delivered by the Son of the living God. And one day, because of that day, the gospel delivered my soul from sin. Now I can sit here clothed and in my right mind at the feet of the wonderful Savior that loved me and gave himself for me. You ask the Apostle Peter about the gospel. He'd say, hey, all I used to do is fish for a living, but now I'm a fisherman of men. Amen. Now I have a job to do. He could say, well, preacher, did Peter get delivered? Yes, he did. And he got delivered again and again because, my friend, the gospel still works. It worked in Peter's day and it worked in our day. Ask the woman taken in adultery if the gospel will deliver. She'll say, oh, yes, I was guilty. I was guilty. How many remembers when you were guilty? But thank God in the gospel you found a pardon. In the gospel you found forgiveness. In the gospel you found a new way. Jesus said, go and sin no more. You could ask Nicodemus. Nicodemus had all the religious credentials. You could say, Nicodemus, does the gospel deliver? Oh, I believe with all of my heart Nicodemus got delivered. You say, preacher, how can you believe that? Why would he be interested in helping with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? He came to Jesus by night and Jesus told him, he said, son, your religion ain't going to get it done. You must be born again. He didn't understand. He said, how can I enter a second time into my mother's womb and be born? He said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. I tell you what, if you're only born once, you'll die twice. But thank God if you're born twice, listen to me, you'll never die. We'll be in the presence of the Lord when we leave this world. Jesus said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He said, believest thou this? You say, oh preacher, the Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die. I know it might seem a little bit confusing, but you understand, for the believer to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's just this old carcass that's going to die. Amen. That real man, that new man's never going to die. He's going to raise his eyes with the Lord. Ask the thief on the cross, does the gospel deliver? And the thief on the cross will say, amen. Amen. They called him Lord. And at one time he would tell you, I wasn't sure who he was either. And he'd say, there was something welled up in my soul when I saw the Lord. Ask him. I heard the Lord ask God the Father to forgive them. He said, he'll tell you, there's something welled up inside of me that just caused me to understand that perhaps he could forgive me. And he looked over there and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I tell you what, the gospel delivered that thief from that old rugged cross right into the presence of God. I believe the gospel delivers, don't you? I believe that's important. Brethren, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Let me ask you something this morning. How many believes the gospel delivers? Now, here's where we're weak if we're not careful. I see the gospel delivers in this passage of Scripture. But if you'll look with me, if you will, he said, moreover, brethren, he said, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel not only delivers, but if it does deliver, then we ought to be declaring it. Say amen. He said, I declare unto you the gospel. I believe with all of my heart it's important to declare the gospel. Somebody said, well, I believe in lifestyle evangelism. I'll say this to you. If you go into the court of law and you're called on to be a witness, you can have the best life in the world, but if you don't open your mouth, you're not going to help that person that's being charged. Amen. I believe we ought to have a clean lifestyle. I believe we ought to live for the Lord. But I believe this. I believe there's good moral people that are lost and undone without God or His Son on their way to hell. And I believe God's people ought to open their mouth and let come out what's in their heart. The Bible said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. I believe the gospel needs to be declared. And I'll get to that gospel in just a moment. The gospel delivers. I see the gospel declared. I see the gospel determined. Look in chapter number 15 and verse number 3. He said, go back here in verse number 1. He said, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received. Now watch this. And wherein ye stand. You know what I don't understand? I don't understand why people stand for a while and then quit standing. Because the gospel's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, wherein you stand. He said, preacher, what do you see there? I see the gospel is determined. The gospel will get the job done. The gospel will take us all the way. I was sitting there, my heart was melting while Brother Fred was leading the choir. I don't know how old Brother Fred is. I think he's 80-something another. Are you 80, 85, brother, this month, or 87 this month? My heart melted as I sat there. You know what I was thinking? You say, preacher, what was you thinking? I was thinking, God, if you let me live, as long as you've let that man live, then let me have a cane and let me get up there one more time and let me open that Bible and let me open my mouth and let me have that determination that that man's got in his soul to do what God wants me to do the rest of my life. The gospel will make you determined, amen, to go on and see it through to the end. Not many people are going to remember, Brother Grizzle, how we started. But I tell you what, a lot of people are going to remember how we finished. And we need to finish the race that God's put before us. And let that gospel cause us to be determined to sing another song, determined to pray another prayer, determined to teach another class, determined to preach another message, determined to tell another soul about Christ, our blessed Lord. Ought to be determined. Ought to be determined. Ought to be determined. Old timers used to call it Holy Ghost determination. We need some of that, don't we? Amen. This generation ought to be determined. Gospel delivers. The gospel declared. I tell you what a blessing it is when God calls a man to declare the gospel. I tell you, you could be the president of the United States. It wouldn't be a higher calling than being called on to declare the gospel. Amen. I'm telling you, you can own every lump of coal that's ever come out of the ground and every dollar it represents. But it wouldn't be like having the call of God on your life to declare the gospel. The gospel delivers. The gospel declared. The gospel is determined. He said, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Let me give you this, number 4, in the message this morning. I see the gospel defined. You see, if it was up to me and I was going to start the message, I would start right there. I would think it would be important to define the gospel before you even started. But I'm just preaching it the way God put it in the Word of God. The gospel defined. If somebody said to you, what is the gospel? If someone said to you, would you take out a piece of paper and a pen? And would you write down what the gospel is? What would you write down this morning? I believe with all of my heart this morning, friend, listen, that we need to understand the gospel as it is defined in the Scripture. The Bible said here, look with me if you will, at verse number 3 and verse number 4. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Let me say something to you, church. I love you, and I want God to speak to my heart too right here. But if we ever get over those three things, we're not much good to anybody. Our Lord died for our sin, according to the Scripture. Our Lord was buried. But thank God our Lord didn't stay in that hole in that tomb. Amen. Our Lord got up the third and appointed day, just like the Word of God said. You say, preacher, what is the gospel? It's just defined simply in how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. I've thought a lot of people say, I'm saved. I want to ask you this, on what basis? On what basis? What do you base that on? Somebody say, well, I'm saved because of this, or I'm saved because of that. I'm saved because of this. I tell you what, I'm saved because the one that was died for my sin, crucified at Calvary, bled and died His last blood. My friend, He was buried, He rose again. That one lives in me. That one is the one I trusted. That blood is the blood that was shed that I might be saved. By the grace of God. I tell you, there's a lot of things said about the plan of salvation. I tell you, don't ever let the plan take you away from the man. Christ Jesus. Amen. Salvation is in the gospel. How that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. That He was buried. You say, preacher, where does repentance come in? I tell you what, when you realize it was your sin that put Him on that cross. It wasn't the Roman soldiers, amen. I tell you, one time I had a block of four before. I brought it to church with me. I laid it on the communion table. And I had everybody in the church to close their eyes. And I took a big old spike, Brother Wayne, and I began to beat it with a hammer. I just began to beat on that spike with a hammer. I said, now that's what it might have sounded like when those Roman soldiers. But I said, take that hammer out of their hands and put it in your hand. It's you driving that nail. It's me driving that nail. And when it becomes personal, my friend, you're no longer saying He died for the sin of the world. But you're standing there one-on-one. He died for my sin. He died for my sin. My friend, He's laid in that tomb those 3 days. And thank God He got up so I could be justified. He got up. The gospel. I'm saved. Yes, I am. The gospel defined on the basis of Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. You see, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is a gift from God. I see this morning, the gospel delivers, the gospel declared, the gospel determined, and the gospel defined. But let me give you something else this morning I see. I see a gospel duty. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, look here in verse number 5. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Let me ask you a question. How did Paul know that? How did he know that? I'll tell you how. Cephas told him. And the 12 said, hey, we saw him. And then the Bible said he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. So I'll tell you how that Paul knew that these people, because they opened their mouth and they declared it. There's a gospel duty. If you have seen something, then there's a gospel duty to say something. Watch this. Turn with me in your Bibles. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For the life was manifested. We have seen it. We bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. Can I just make a suggestion this morning? Is it possible that you never say anything because you've never seen anything? I'll tell you this morning, I believe if you have the Savior living inside of you, you have seen and experienced the change that He's made in your life. It'll cause you to want to say something about the gospel to someone else a long life's way. I believe with all of my heart, friend, we don't need to be arrogant. We don't need to be full of pride. But we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel duty. Paul said, I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Paul said, it's meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. I say hallelujah. Paul realized he had a duty. He said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I don't believe, my friend, that we ought to do everything that we do out of duty. I believe along the way, my friend, there ought to be some delight involved. But I believe that we should never shirk our duty. If you get in the military and you shirk your duty, you're going to be paying the piper. Say amen. And I believe with all of my heart, God wants us, my friend, to understand our duty as Christians. The Bible said, so therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach. And so you believed. There's a couple more things right here and I'll be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you look over here, beginning in verse number 12. I'm not going to read it all again, but the Bible said, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? I see the gospel denied. You understand that everybody's not going to receive the gospel. Some people get discouraged when they share Jesus with somebody and then they mock them or they make fun of them. I'm going to tell you, the Bible said when Paul declared the resurrection of the dead over there in the book of Acts, the Bible said some mocked, some said, we'll hear thee again of this matter. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. I say, certain men, just one would make it worth it all. Amen. Just one. The gospel is denied. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Friend, I'm just going to put this in East Tennessee vernacular so you can understand. If Jesus didn't get up, just like the Bible said, this is the biggest waste of time you've ever experienced in your life. Getting up there in a choir, giving to the missions program, sending missionaries around the world, preaching, singing, testifying, meeting together in places like this. Roll it all back, turn it into a dance hall, if Christ be not risen. But thank God, He is risen. He is. You can deny it till the Lord comes again, but you cannot change the fact that He did get up the third and appointed day. My friend, there's going to be people deny it. There are people say, well, you need to believe in His death. It don't matter whether you believe in His resurrection or not. Let me say this. The gospel's a package deal. It's a package deal. Let me say this to you. I say it in love. If He wasn't born of a virgin, then He wasn't qualified to be the sacrifice. If He didn't live a sinless life, then how could He die for our sin, according to the Scripture? I'm telling you, He was born of a virgin. I'm telling you, He lived a sinless life. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. He's the Son of the living God. And He gave His life for you. And He gave His life for me. I believe this morning we see the gospel. We see it denied. It gets discouraging sometimes. You know what's real discouraging? When it's denied in the pulpits of America. Amen. It's denied in the pulpits of America. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, you listen to their social gospel sometime or another. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe people need clothes. I believe people need food. And I believe that's important. But what they need more than anything in this world is Jesus. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. People need the Lord. They need the Lord. The gospel denied. Let me give you this and I'm done. I see a gospel delight. You say, preacher, where do you see that? Look in verse number 19 here with me. The Bible said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom unto God, even the Father, when he shall have put all rule and all authority and power, put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Look at verse 26. Here's what I delight in. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Thank God we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Thank God the delight, a place where there's no more tears, where there's no more pain, where there's no more sickness, where there's no more sorrow, where there's not one misunderstanding, there's not one heartache. I tell you, you say, preacher, what is that place? Well, the Bible calls it heaven, and the children of God call it home. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You read Hebrews chapter number 11. They had the promise, and they held on to it until they went out of this world. Then they saw the promise fulfilled, the delight that you and I have in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, an old preacher said it like this. It might have been Brother Mays, one of the preachers of yesteryear. He said, one day you're going to get up. And he said, you're going to read my name in the obituary column. And he said, it's going to say that I died. He said, don't you believe a word of it. Amen. Don't you believe a word of it. You say, preacher, how can you say that? The gospel. He died. He buried. He was buried. But he rose again the third and appointed day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. You say, preacher, when will we see real revival in America? I'll tell you when. When it doesn't take anything but the gospel to stir our hearts. When we can just think, he died for my sin, and our heart melts and we rejoice. When we can just think, hey, yes, I'm facing somewhere. I'm facing a hole in the ground. But guess what? That hole can't hold me. Say amen. Hallelujah. Victors because of the victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel. The gospel. I don't know about you, but I'm determined to declare the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin. Paul, y'all realize, I know you do, he was very educated. Very educated. He had credentials that are just unbelievable. And he said, I'll tell you what I do with all them. He said, just mound them up over here. He said, I count them but dung that I might win Christ. Just a pile of refuse that I might win Christ. Then you come into, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and he said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Everywhere he went, he was telling about a living Savior that he met while he was dead in his trespasses and sin on the road to Damascus, and the change that the Savior made in his life. Oh, friend of mine, I want you to help us pray. Let's declare the gospel. You see, a lot of people will listen to you that won't listen to the preacher. You work with folk. You live with folk. Amen. And we need to declare the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. He was buried, but he didn't stay dead. Amen. He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to stand and preach the Word of God this Lord's Day. Lord, it's my prayer that each one in this building has experienced the deliverance that comes from believing the gospel, from receiving the gospel. God, it's my prayer that each one of us that
have received Christ as our Lord and our Savior, would have our hearts stirred to realize there are many every day, Lord, all around us that need the Lord. Help us, Lord, to fulfill our duty as a child of God to declare the gospel. I pray, Father, that You'd help us in these last of the last days to look forward to the delight, the sheer delight of knowing Christ. As our faith turns into sight, we shall behold Him. We shall be satisfied when we awake with Thy likeness. Lord, I pray that You'd help us in this generation stir our hearts through the gospel of Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord, we love You today. Help us, Lord, to serve You with gladness till You come.